Now, he started about a quarter after. Just kind of sitting there. I hope nobody has to rush out of here at noon. While I was sitting there, I was thinking, well, I'll just come up with something else than what I had on my heart. But I can't. Because I'm a little farther over in Ephesians chapter 1. I can't think of a better introduction to what I had on my mind than what you just heard. And what you just heard agrees with Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10, when he said, I'm God and there's... How's that begin? Declaring the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I'm God and there's none like me. Declaring the end. Is that what he said? Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And that's exactly what's been laid out for you this morning. And bless your hearts, that's the truth. I'll add 2 cents, though. That innumerable host is innumerable to us, but it's known individually to God. And so I'm not contradicting anything. I'm just saying God knows each one of them individually. But it is innumerable to us. And I'm thankful that God has such people, don't you? Aren't you? And I'm thankful for that foundation that he has laid. And I'm thankful that that last chapter is already written. Bless your heart, that's our hope, isn't it? If God has blessed us to understand that truth, then bless your hearts, no matter what we have to face in this life, we are still secure in him. I rejoice in the doctrine of eternal security. As we think about, you know, Romans chapter 8, if Brother John had continued in Romans 8, you got down to that last couple of verses where he said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Bless your hearts, we're secure in him. And I rejoice in that, don't you? Now, understanding that then, and understanding that that cannot be changed, that we cannot be separated from it, bless your hearts, what's left for us to do is, if we understand it, it's what's left for us to do is to enjoy it and to live like it. You know, God's people ought to be the happiest people on the face of this earth. God's people ought to be rejoicing in the midst of their tribulation. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What does that mean? What does that mean to be of good cheer even when you know you're going to have tribulations? Well, it simply means be of good cheer. It's not that you're going to enjoy tribulation. It's not that you're going to not have tribulation. It's not that it's going to take the tribulation away. You're still going to have to endure that. And weeping may endure for a night. But since the final chapter is written, joy cometh in the morning. We go through experiences, and we're trusting the Lord and leaning upon him. It may be hard, but there's an end to it. There's an end to the things that we suffer in this life, and there's an end coming, bless your hearts, where we'll be delivered from all. I think we heard at the meeting that we were blessed to be in the last couple of days that no matter what you face in this life, the resurrection is going to fix it. Isn't that a wonderful thought? No matter what problems you have, no matter what trials, no matter what goes wrong in this life, the resurrection is going to fix it. Every bit of it. According to his purpose, his power. So that inheritance that Brother John touched on for just a few minutes here, Paul prayed toward the, and I think we touched on this prayer a little bit, last Sunday, but Paul prayed for the Ephesian brethren. Now listen, remember what we said last Sunday? All right? The Ephesian church had been blessed with wonderful, wonderful, wonderful teaching from one pastor after another. And this letter was then written to them. And what a wonderful letter this was that was written to them. I mean, it's still wonderful today, isn't it? We still enjoy this today. That letter that was written to the Ephesian church. And yet the last mention that we find to the church of Ephesus that they had left their first love. Brethren, we could do the same. We could. But we don't have to. And the antinomians say, well, it doesn't matter. We're going to be saved anyway, so it doesn't matter what we do. Yes, it does matter. It matters to the kind of life that you're going to have to live, and it matters as according to how much you show your appreciation for that last chapter that's already written. And that's the big reason that we ought to live to his glory, is to thank him and show our appreciation, knowing that he knows what's best for us. And if we'll just follow in that way, then we'll enjoy the best of life that we can have here in this world while we're waiting for the time that we'll go home to be with him. Now, I don't spend my day waiting for Jesus to appear as far as the end of the time. Okay? I'm looking forward to it. And I know it's going to be a glorious event, but it's going to be an event that's going to happen that long. Less than that. Okay? But bless your hearts, I want to see him every day. Amen. I want to feel his presence every day. I want to be mindful of his blessings and thankful for them and be a help and a positive influence in the kingdom of God right now. It could be another 2,000 years before he comes again. I don't know how long it'll be, and you don't either. And those radio preachers, they don't know it either. You know, TV preachers, you know, even though there's one at least twice in my lifetime, he's come, well, maybe three times, he's come out with, you know, his prediction on when the last day of the world's going to be. Got people all stirred up, and all three of those days have come and gone. And he's still preaching, and folks are still listening to him. I don't know why. Bless your hearts, I want to hear truth. I want to hear what I can verify in the Word of God, and I want to hear what I can rejoice in. Bless your hearts, God has laid it out for us, and we can rejoice. And there are some folks that just get so upset when you talk about election and predestination. There's folks that just get so upset that they don't have some way of influencing that. Would you rather salvation be left in your hands or God's? Thank you. I was at a funeral one time years ago, and one of my best friend's mother came up to the preacher after the service was over, and she said, "That's just too good to be true. I wish I could believe that." And I'm standing there thinking, I wish you could too. Because it's the truth. God loved us enough that he's going to keep us safe eternally. All right? So, when Paul would pray for the brethren at Ephesus, he wanted them to stay safe. He wanted them to stay in the way. He wanted them to remember that last chapter's written. He wanted to remember what God had done for them already and how secure they were in it. But the destination is set and secure. But what we do between now and then has a great deal to do with the decisions that we make on a daily basis as far as how much we enjoy what God has provided for us. And that inheritance that we have to look forward to. So listen to what Paul said in his prayer. Let me just, for interest of time, let me begin in verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. Paul saying, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." You know, when we're born of the Spirit, we're blessed to know him. Because we've got his spirit within us, we're blessed to know God. We're also blessed to know that we're a sinner because of the conviction by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of details we don't know, but there's some things that we just know by the presence of God's Holy Spirit in us. You know there's a God. And when you sin because of the Spirit within you, you know he's been offended. All right? Paul prayed for them to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What you get when you're born of the Spirit of God is not all there is to see. The Spirit enlightens us. Haven't you learned some things since you've been on this journey as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Haven't you come to a better understanding of what God has done for us and what he expects of us and how we should serve him? Haven't you come to a better, I hope you've grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And don't you know that there's still more and more for us to understand while we live in this life? And Paul was praying that that church would have this every day. Every day. So that we could continue to grow. So that we could continue to be faithful. So that we could continue to be a light in our community. All right? So, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. There's three things here that Paul prays for. The hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Brethren, listen. Those three things, briefly comprehended, those three things is that we might have hope, and that we might know something of the glory of this inheritance and something of his mighty power. Don't you need hope while you go through this life? If you're like me, you get discouraged sometimes. I mean, we just sometimes get down in the dumps and things don't work like we thought they would, and maybe there's something we want to do, we just can't quite grasp that brass ring. You know, there's just all kinds of things that can discourage us in this life. And if you're just thinking about your ability and what's good or not good in your life, then bless your hearts, I promise you, you can get discouraged. But the more we remind ourselves of God and his ability and his purpose for us in life, and the more we remind ourselves of how we're to live and how much God loves us and how he's forgiven us in Christ and how that we cannot be separated from his love, I tell you, that encourages you. And that's what we need on a daily basis. It gives us hope. Now, I'm satisfied that in the new birth, there's something of that hope that's given to us. All right? Because faith is there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right? So faith has to be there. All right? He gives us faith. And through faith, we can lay hold upon these promises. We can hope. But I don't see that Paul is praying necessarily that God would give you that hope, but that you could understand that we are to rejoice in that hope every day. What did the Apostle Peter say? As a matter of fact, this hope, this inheritance, and this power, that same pattern, by the way, is given to us over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. That same sequence. I wonder about that. Don't you? The same subjects and in that same order. All right? I won't go too far in saying it has to be like that every time, but I find that Paul in this prayer gave it to us in that order, and the Apostle Peter prayed for it in that way. All right? But when Peter talked about hope, he talked about how that God hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What hope do you have apart from the resurrection? I mean, without the resurrection, do you have any hope of anything? No. Paul said we'd be of all men most miserable if the dead rise not. All right, if Christ be not raised, then we would be of all men most miserable. With the resurrection, with understanding and with believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, when we understand more about why he came and what he accomplished in his death, bless your hearts, the more we rejoice in the fact that he came forth out of that tomb. He didn't stay there. If he just stayed there, then bless your hearts, what hope would we have of living after death? Oh, but he came forth. He rose. And oh, bless your hearts as we rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ came forth from the dead and everything that he had promised. Because one of those things that he had promised before he went to the tomb was, because I live, ye shall live also. And then he died. And their hopes died with him. And their hopes went with him into that tomb. And until he came out, their hopes was going to be dashed. Oh, but bless your hearts, Peter experienced it. Because Peter saw, Peter touched him. Peter was able to know with certainty that Jesus Christ was now alive from the dead. Do you know that this morning? Oh yeah, I know that. What? Bless your hearts, it ought to cause your heart to rejoice more than just about anything else I can think of. If you're blessed to know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the natural man doesn't know that. That means you're born of the Spirit of God. That means you were one of those that he chose before the foundation of the world. You're one of those that Jesus knew that he would save when he came into this world. You know, that just drives some people crazy when you start talking about how that Jesus knew everyone that he died for. That he knew who he was coming to save. Well, he knew it because they were chosen in him. Paul told Timothy, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Not will be, might be, if they accept me. They are already his. They were that way 2,000 years ago, and they were that way before the foundation of the world. And I keep talking about, it was such a nugget that I enjoyed so much. We were at a meeting a year or so ago when Brother Tim McCool, a lawyer, was talking about how there's not a state in the union, in the United States, that will allow you to add an heir to a will after the death of the testator. The one who made the will, the one who made all the provisions for it, you cannot add, once that person's died, you cannot add another heir to that will. And see, that fits perfectly with God's purpose. When he made out the will, he put every one of them in it. He knew them by name. Even before we even had our being, he knew every one who would be made heirs according to his grace. He hath begotten us again. When Peter, you know, the apostle Peter had denied the Lord three times, and after a while there, you know, he said, I go fishing. Oh, but the Lord came to him. Bless your hearts. Peter was blessed to understand that Jesus was alive from the dead. He's begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you're blessed to know this morning that he's alive from the dead, and bless your heart, you're blessed. You're a blessed character. All right. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance? When the apostle Peter would speak of this inheritance, Do you remember how he described it, don't you? I'm going to read it because I may get it mixed up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. That's secure, isn't it? Oh, I won't take, we could spend a lot of time on that, but I won't take that time. But bless your hearts, incorruptible. Oh, think of the corruption that's in this world. Think of the corruption that's in our being. Think of the corruption that we see all about us. Think of the defilements that there are all about us in this world. And the very best efforts, even of the born-again child of grace who's trying his best to serve the Lord the best he can, everything we do is tainted with sin. Imperfection. We come short. Not so in Christ. He's made us accepted to that holy and righteous Father in heaven. We are absolutely accepted in every way. It's kind of like that verse in Hebrews where it says that because of what Christ has done for us, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. I've said this before to you, but that just, every time I read that, it does something to me to know that he's not ashamed of me. As sinful and vile as I am, as far short as I come, and he's not ashamed of me. That's what the truth says. In Christ, for Christ's sake, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And bless your hearts. He's given us a foretaste. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. He's opened our understanding, and it's something that we can grow in, but he's given us an understanding of who he is and what he's done and our security in it. And that inheritance will not only be a place that we'll enjoy, it's a change that's going to take place in us. This mortal's going to put on immortality. And this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And so we'll no longer have to deal with this old flesh like it's been here. The glory of the inheritance of the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And blessed are you. Right? Isn't that what Jesus told Peter? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. If you're able to be blessed to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you're blessed. You're included in the will. You're going to be with him in glory. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of Christ. Now live like it. Every day we live, let's live like who we are. Which the church calls it the ecclesia. The Bible calls the church the ecclesia, the called out. Till he comes again, our job is to live like the called out. Giving glory to his name. Looking forward to that inheritance. It's going to not only be a change in us, but a place that we cannot imagine how glorious it is. That will never change. You know, you might have had a nice vacation somewhere. You may have been able to go to some place that was just absolutely breathtaking in its beauty. Then you had to leave and go home. Not so with this inheritance. going to be everlasting, unending, eternal, however you want to speak. There's times in the Bible where everlasting and eternal are both translated from the same word. Okay, so don't try to split hairs and call it something different. It means the same thing. According to the working of His mighty power. He's given us hope. He's shown us the glory of it. And He's got the power to bring it to pass. We don't have to worry about that. We can rest in the power of God. We can rest in His provisions. We can rest in all that He's told us. So as we grow, Paul prayed that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. If we'll continue to grow in our understanding of what He's done for us, if we'll continue to grow in our understanding of this word that He has provided for us, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, it will help us to see where we are. It'll help us to show us where we need to place each footstep, and it'll give us the direction that we need to be headed. He's given us all that we need to enjoy a life of joy and peace with Him while we wait for Jesus to come again to take us home to be with Him. Oh, I tell you, there's so much more. He's given us that hope. He's given it to us, but there's something for us to rejoice in every day as we rejoice in that hope. It's not just something that's a matter of fact. You have it. God gave it to you. And that's all there is to it. No, it's something for us to walk in every day. And it's something that can be, like Peter said, a lively hope. You know, you could just about look at somebody and tell how the condition of their hope. You know? When you start talking about the things of God, do they brighten up? Some folks get sleepy. They do. Some folks get sleepy when you start talking about the Lord. I tell you, it's the most exciting thing I can think of. And I pray that God will help us all to have that appetite and that desire that we might, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, what is the glory of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power. He goes on in that chapter, I got to close out. He goes on to that chapter to talk about the same power that it's going to take to raise us from the dead. It's the same power that He wrought in Christ in raising Him from the dead. And it's the same power that He works in us in raising us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. He's got the power. And it'll never fail. And in the rest of that chapter, down through verse 23, I won't take time to read it, but you can read it yourself. But the rest of that chapter, because of all of the glory of what we have available to us, and the more of what we can see as we apply ourselves to grow in grace and the knowledge of the truth, it all points us to Christ. Who is our head, who is our Lord, and who we should submit to in every decision of life. Lord, does it please You for me to do this? Lord, what way should I go? Look to Him. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our guide. He's the head of the church. And we as His church, as His bride, need to seek Him in every decision we make that it might be pleasing unto Him. So that we as the called out are living like the called out. We're living according to these principles that He's given us in His word. Bless your hearts, that's how we can honor Him. That's how we can say thank You, Lord, for all Your blessings on me. That's how we in turn, for all the love that He's shown to us, that's how we can say, I love You, Lord, by what we do. May God bless you is our prayer.